All right, good listeners, Easter egg time. You may have noticed that every section of this bundle comes with a color. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, shades of purple, aka magenta, orchid, violet, hot pink elephant, prismatic, and now this one, solid gold. Like I mentioned, I curate my apothecary medicine bundles by assigning stories as elements or primordial directions, or taking you through a storyteller's chef's menu. So when I started putting together this village grant bundle, I thought that it would be organized accordingly. But then I was shaping up and I'm like, no, that's not a menu. It's not the directions this time. What is it? What is it? Oh, it's colors of the rainbow. Everything clicked. In 2021, I went through an ancestor healing apprenticeship with one of my beloved teachers and peers, Dr. Stephanie Burns. During this apprenticeship, she assigned everyone in the group a card from the specialized deck that she uses with a message of guidance from our ancestors, and she also assigned each of us a song from her ancestor radio. So this song would have special significance, meaning, and guidance for each of us. The meaning of the card that I was given translated to the colors of the community. That's it. What does that even mean? Who knows? And the song she gave me was Blue Moon by Beck. So I hadn't heard this song before she gave it to me, but when I listened to it for the first time, I really liked it. The first lyric is, I'm so tired of being alone. In the very first episode of Magical Reality TV for the Revolution, my first podcast episode that I published on September 4th, 2022, at that point, I didn't know the extent of the project I had taken on, but I titled that first episode Gold. Here, I told the story about how I had gotten this message about the colors of the community from my ancestors via Dr. Burns' class. And then I told a story about how our friend Akinke had inspired me to travel into the multiverse and find this giant quantum library, and all of it was gold. There's something else about the card that I was given. The name was Colors of the Community, but the card itself reminded me of the Five of Pentacles in the tarot deck. That card is associated with poverty or lack or genuine scarcity. It's not having access to life-saving resources you need. Putting that together with this song, Blue Moon, someone who is so tired of being alone. In the ancestor healing journey, when you get messages, they are meant to unfold over time, again and again. You understand the meaning, and then life unfolds and you experience the meaning on a deeper level. At the time when I got these two messages, the two things together really spoke to where I was at with community. Over the years, I have prioritized a lot of solitude, and I went really, really deep into my own aloneness. And the more I went into my aloneness, the more I found the wealth and community of my ancestors, the more I found the vibrancy of the spirit world, and the abundant connection I had to all of nature, my non-human relatives, and their incredible aliveness. At some point in the last couple years, I was talking to my friend Siang, who witnessed this journey that I was on and the choice that I made to turn away from the world, so to speak. Siang said to me that day, Shanga, I think the world wants you back. And when they said that, it really landed. I knew it was true, but I don't always really even know what that means either. A couple years ago, I was in a session with a healer, a reader, and she said, there's something about the play that you wrote, Pluto. When you're ready to pick it up again, it'll be your way of coming back into community. If you're wondering where the name Spider-Woman comes from, it comes from this play that I wrote called Pluto. Spider-Woman is the first character who officially speaks and kicks off the entire journey, which is basically a love and loss story between Jupiter and Pluto who shapeshift and travel through time. Spider-Woman has appeared multiple times on my podcast too. To me, she's not just a character. She is one of my ancient ancestors who lives in the core of the earth. And she comes from really old mythology in my lineage. And there are many lineages, of course, who have a similar mythology of a Spider-Woman or a spider being. Circling back to one of our foundational research questions for Spider-Woman's Storyteller, Producer, and Showrunners Guild. I keep asking myself, you know, what is the role of a producer or a guild in the village if it's not what they do in Hollywood? For so long, I was like, what is it? And then it hit me. I was like, it's a garden. It's a community garden. I've only been saying it this whole time. In the spirit of a community garden, we recognize that it does feed the entire community, so it must be cared for and tended to by the community as well. But this is where I live. Not everyone who cares for the garden lives here, but I do. This garden needs to feed me, first and foremost. I've already died here. I will have to keep living and dying here many times over, no matter how far and wide the system is meant to spread. This garden must feed me first, and that always has to be true. I say this because I consider myself, and I am, a storyteller community mother. I'm part of a great legacy of other storytellers who raise communities through their words, their libraries, their wisdom, their vulnerability. I am a community auntie. I have played such a role in a village for over a decade. Mothers of all kinds, mothers of all genders, we have to be real that this is still an exploited class of workers. We are still in habit of expecting caregivers, including community caregivers, to give a lot and never ask for much in return. The Hollywood model teaches us to pour our money into Amazon Prime, Netflix, Disney Plus, and that's how we get our storytelling needs met, our entertainment needs met. But those are corporations. Remember when that documentary came out called The Corporation and reminded everyone that corporations were designed as lifeless entities so that humans could get rich and nobody could hold them accountable for anything? We're used to pouring our money into said entity and getting our perks. Because we do get perks. We don't have to think about Netflix as a human being with needs, just a machine that will keep pumping out entertainment. You probably don't think too much about how exploited the artists are when you watch TV. I certainly don't, and I think about this stuff all the time. But there are many moments throughout my career that I notice people treat me like this, and treat other storytellers and healers and community mothers like this. Like I'm just a divination machine. Like I'm supposed to be Amazon pumping out astrology readings. Like I only exist to create space for others and feed others. But when I take a break or prioritize feeding myself, you get mad. You feel like I've betrayed our agreement somehow. Because I have. I do, and I will, continue to betray the agreement that Hollywood has taught us. When I was sitting down to create this medicine bundle, a song popped in my head. Ever since Stephanie Byrne's class, my ancestors have been obsessed with their own ancestor radio. They drop songs into my head like they're playing records. So the song they popped into my head also has the word blue in the title. It's called Beautiful Blue by Holly McNarland. And one of the lines is, "This is where I live. This is where I do my screaming." It hit me like, yeah, this garden is where I live. It is where I do my screaming. It's where I grieve and where I rage. Beautiful Blue, I haven't listened to this song for so many years, but I love it. And, you know, I used to listen to it all the time around 2004, 2005. And you know, you hear a song and it just takes you back to a time period in your life. I was listening to this song a lot before I moved across the country to the city I'm in now and that I've lived in for the last 20 years. That was the first time I moved away from my family, from everything that I've known. And there were many songs that held me, that gathered me and carried me through that huge gateway, including this song. So I listened to it again as I was doing this medicine bundle, and it flooded back all these memories of who I was before I moved here 20 years ago, the dreams that I had coming here, but the most important things that I've experienced and the most amazing and painful things that came to pass are things that I could have never imagined in my wildest dreams. I was listening to this song again and I was like, you know what is this song actually about according to the writer? So I looked it up. After some sleuthing, it seems like she originally wrote this song in the aftermath of 9/11. These are the lyrics in the chorus. Dreaming under this ugliness, waking up to all of this beautiful blue, beautiful you. In my sleuthing, I read that someone said that she said in an interview once, this was about looking at all the ugliness going on in the news, juxtaposed with waking up with her newborn baby and taking care of this beautiful child as so many overwhelmingly ugly things happen in the world around her. Now, I don't know this artist too well. I don't know her political views or anything like that or what she was really thinking or meaning by these lyrics, but in terms of ancestor radio, it made sense to me why my ancestors would put this song in my head right now and why I've always loved it, maybe, why I've always felt it so deeply. There's so many parallels to 9/11 in this moment, right? 9/11 triggered so much Islamophobia. It gave the world permission to target Arab folks and brown people and Muslims at a much greater ferocity. It gave permission to incessantly bomb the so-called Middle East and enact extreme military violence in that area of the world for the sake of resource extraction and corporate greed. And of course we're seeing that right now. We're under this ugliness, and I'm holding so much beautiful blue. I'm holding this beautiful baby, this garden that is mine to protect and grow and nurture. And we are holding the promise of so much that is here to exist and become for all the healing and freedom we were born to see. And when I think about what blue means, it takes me back to water. It takes me back to water as primordial ancestor, our original ancestor here on the planet. And as an altar carrier, blue takes me to the west. In the west side of an altar, we have the guardians of water. We have the grandmothers, the spiritual custodians, the cleanup crew, the beloveds who catch and hold the new baby, the leaders who care for the end-of-life journey with the most skill, strength, delicacy, and reverence. In the blue, we have the ones who teach us to hold and hold and hold. The ones we must seek permission from before we let go of anything. In the West, the blue are the ones who grieve, the ones who work, the ones who make the hardest sacrifices for all of us to find a greater and truer generosity. If I could distill the biggest lesson that the West has been telling me or us over the last 20 years, it's that we have to feed ourselves first. A prayer, a promise, a requirement, an impossible thing to learn that we are still learning. We have to feed ourselves first is a core village principle written into the foundation of this artist grant system. It comes from the blue, the storyteller community mother, who has to recognize there are many moments when that is really not true, and it really isn't right to feed ourselves first. When our first inclination is to never do that, it's always to think about who we care for. And we think sometimes in the healing journey, we think that's a shortcoming. It's not. It's only dangerous in a village that will seek to exploit that truth and take advantage of that generosity instead of protect it. I'm sorry, but if I'm on a plane and it's going down, I am for dang sure putting the oxygen mask on my kid before I put it on myself. If there's a burning building, I'm going back for the dog. I'm going in for the cats. Get out of my way. After I realized the significance of the color blue in this bundle and our ancestor radio theme song, I looked back on section 5, which is the blue section, and I was like, what was that about again? Here, blue is about looking at everything that is possible to see with this village artist grant system if we are willing to invest in it. I come back to this young person, 21 years old, coming to the city for the first time, holding everything that is possible to see and experience here. I look at what was possible then and what is possible now. I keep saying the city I live, but I haven't named it yet, and I did that intentionally. We often do land acknowledgements first, but this time I needed to do it last. I moved here to Toronto from Winnipeg in 2005, on September 4th. Yes, that is the day I officially published my first podcast in my public library. And it's September 18th today when I'm recording this, and I just crossed my 20-year anniversary of living here in this city. The indigenous name of Toronto is Jitgarundo, and you'll see it spelled like Tuckeronto. The Mohawk translation of this name means the trees that stand in the water, referring to the fact that the Great Lakes live here. Toronto lives right next to Lake Ontario, which is the last Great Lake that spills into the St. Lawrence River and leads water into the ocean. This is the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee, aka Six Nations, the Huron-Wendat, the Anishinaabe, the Petun, the Mississaugas of the Credit River. This is Dish with One Spoon territory. Dish with One Spoon is a wampum belt, an agreement created between the Haudenosaunee and the land itself. It's an agreement that everyone who comes through this land must remain accountable to. And that is, there is just one dish and one spoon here. Everyone who is here must agree to share the land responsibly and peacefully. Everyone here must learn to take what they need generously and leave enough for others generously. This is a very important agreement, especially given that there are so many different nations and tribes who have historically cared for the land here, and they all have different ways of life. Different technologies, different perspectives. Not everyone gets along all the time, and not everyone is meant to. But when we're here in spirit of the harvest table, the vibrant, colorful marketplace, the incredible legacy of creative and spiritual power. We're here in spirit of a community garden. And if there's one thing that Dish with One Spoon teaches you, it is the impossible complexity, the never-ending layers of meaning, the unapologetic simplicity of what it means to share. I can't talk about land acknowledgement without talking about my love story with this land. How do I acknowledge 20 years of life here? Life, death, and miracles. I never planned to come here. Growing up in Manitoba, I dreamt of going to Montreal and studying music there. Then I thought, you know, I'll go to New York, or maybe NYU or Juilliard, or maybe I just go straight to California. Those were the cities that called to me. Toronto never did. Until I was 20 years old. I was in the middle of a major grief journey. Everything I thought my life would look like changed. And one day I was sitting at my computer in Winnipeg and something tapped me on the shoulder. It was Jitgarundo. Here. Come here. The western door is open. Just come. It took me 5 minutes to make that decision. 20 years later, here I am. I came here with dreams. I wanted to find community. I wanted to find love. I wanted to find lifelong partnership and lifelong friendship. I wanted to find the social life of my dreams. I wanted to find something that would last. What I did find instead were things that didn't last. Breakups that define me. There are so many things that I didn't find here, but what I did find was my healing. I didn't come here thinking that I would become a healer. I didn't come here knowing that I already was one. I didn't find my dream social life here. But I did find a few small friendships that did miraculously last through monumental movements of life, death, and spirit. I wanted to find the love of my life here, in human form. Instead, I found them in cats. I know now that's why I came here. For Esta and Rahel, who were born here and died here. I was their mama. And when I remember listening to that song 20 years ago, Beautiful Blue, imagining everything that my life could look like, imagining everything that could be possible as I traveled through this huge gate. I wasn't a community mother back then, but now I am. Now I always will be. Thanks to this place. When I listen to that song now, I close my eyes and I see my 21-year-old self, as old as the world card in the tarot. I see everything that happened over the last 20 years like pages flipping through a book during a 4-minute song. By the time she gets to sing the last chorus, I see myself as I am now, preparing to get back on stage and sing again for the world. I had to do my acknowledgement of Dish with One Spoon last because this whole Village Artist Grant system is my acknowledgement. This is my translation of Dish with One Spoon. This is what it means to share. This is my honoring to the land, to the trees and the water. And it is my commitment to continue living by these promises. It is my unending gratitude for hosting me here. It is everything that we learned together. This is my way of saying, I was here. I am here. This is how I see you. This is how I recognize you. This is my garden. These are my flowers. And it's for you. Toronto, Jeet Karundo. Especially the blue, the water, the lake. Nigani Gichigami. She who goes first. She who leads. I dedicate this ecosystem to you. And we usually do dedications first, but I'll do it last. Because how do you define Dish with One Spoon? How do you tell people what it is? It's all of it. It's every word that I just said, exactly how I said it. The gift you gave me. Now I'll give it to the world.